Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Welcome on into the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan, who's out and about once again today out at X Golf in Geneva. Good morning, Mike. How's it going out at X Golf this morning?
Good evening, good morning, Tyler. Sorry, I feel like I've already been here all day. But it's been great.
You're already operating on Rome time right now. I see what you're doing there.
No, you know what? Actually, I'm on Spain time. I've been up watching the Solheim Cup, believe it or not.
There you go.
But here at X Golf, it is awesome. It is 71 degrees and perfect here inside. I know people like to play the game outside, but hey, as the days are getting shorter, just like yesterday, tried to play nine holes after work and I could only get 7.5 holes in. So living here at this time of year, we're running out of sunlight. So what do? We come indoors. So X Golf is a great CDGA partner with us, and they are going to be having people playing here in just a minute as they come strolling in with their clubs. But a great opportunity to practice, get, you know, the latest and greatest in data, because that seems to be the trend for the younger generation getting better. But as are the older folk like myself, we're adapting to this new technology, and X Golf presents it in a way that is so good and so accurate and has a simulation in a sense that I think is the most realistic when it comes to playing indoor golf because of the putting feature that they have here. So they're hosting us out here, and we'll be talking to Brandon at around 9:15 to find out a little bit more about what X Golf does and where they're located all around Chicago.
It really is amazing, the technology that goes into it. I was introduced to X Golf for the first time last winter, and I went to the one down in Wrigleyville. It's right across the street from Wrigley Field. And it is truly amazing. Because you mentioned the sunlight, and the sunlight is certainly dwindling. I mean, I looked outside last night, and I looked at my roommate, and it was like 7:15, and I was like, you see that? That's depressing. Looking outside, and it is pitch black already at 7:15. But not just the darkness, the frigid temps are coming as well. They're right around the corner. I hate to be the bearer of bad news to all here on that, but the frigid temps are also around the corner, unfortunately, which makes X Golf the perfect spot to keep your game sharp. Because guess what? Unless you're going down to Florida or Arizona or to the Carolinas or Georgia for a golf trip, not many great ways to keep your game in shape by the time we hit next spring. But X Golf is the one thing that can keep you tuned up.
No, and you hit the nail right on the head. I know as I grew up in this environment, in this community, that in essence, after October, we pretty much put the clubs away, and we started thinking about things like basketball and ice hockey and indoor soccer and all the things to keep us busy and active during the winter, but golf really wasn't one of them. And then they started to make nets, and I actually, you know, hung one in a garage and was hitting off of a welcome mat that I had to go to the hardware store because they hadn't even invented AstroTurf yet in that regard. So and makeshift, but there was no technology. There was none of that. You don't know if you were, you know, practicing and ingraining a bad habit, hitting in a net in a garage. But now the technology is so flipping real and so good that this has become more of the norm than it is anything else. It's like if you don't have an indoor regimen during the winter, you are definitely falling behind your competition, whether you are a junior, a high school player, a collegiate, or just an avid amateur, you know, that plays a lot of club golf. Your competitors are all getting better by coming indoors now because the technology is just so amazing.
No doubt about it. And the best part, too, is you can play a number of different courses from across the country. Bethpage Black is my course of choice.
You got that right. And, you know, and it's really wild what you can do here. You can set this thing up as a simulator in terms of a range. So it it literally shows curvature, height, apex of the arc of the ball, and the ball speed and spin rate and all that good stuff. But to your point, you could play St. Andrews, Bethpage, Bay Hill, Pebble Beach, Kapalua. So we actually organized an indoor series with X-Golf last winter, and we opened up and played Kapalua while the PGA Tour was playing Kapalua. And then in the next month in February, we played Pebble Beach at four of the locations, and then we held the finals at simultaneously up in Schaumburg and Downers Grove, and they played Bay Hill the week of Bay Hill. So it added a neat kind of dimension when the players could actually play the golf course, then go home and watch how they play it on TV.
Right.
So it's really a it's great for practicing, but it is an amazing entertainment vehicle as well for parties and bachelor parties, birthday parties, family get-togethers. And Brandon is going to tell us all about that. But specifically, it's amazing how good people are getting as a result of this type of opportunity now that we have in our community. So we look to put more Illinoisans out on tour.
No doubt about that. By the way, this segment brought to you by Geneva National. Let's get into some Ryder Cup stuff, because it is now just one very short week away from hitting, teeing it up out at Marco Simone in Rome. So looking forward to all of that. But a lot of different things that I think people have been focusing on over the last week, week and a half. Obviously, the Fortinet and everything that went down there with Justin Thomas finishes fifth. Has a really strong Saturday, so-so Sunday there. And then everyone's sort of keeping their eyes on Brooks as well and what he's doing out at Live in Chicago at Rich Harvest Farms this weekend as well. But what's for you, Mike? What's been the thing you've really been tracking over the last couple of weeks as we get geared up for the Ryder Cup here?
Well, I think with most Americans, I've been most curious as to how JT was going to do this past weekend. And as we went on the show last week, he had only played the two rounds, and then he went even deeper and lower on Saturday and played perhaps some of the best golf I've seen him play in 2023. Now, mind you, he only went even par on Sunday, but he still had a top 10 finish and a very, very, very strong finish. So I was more than relieved. In fact, I'm excited now for what Justin Thomas can bring, not only as an intangible as to who he is, the experience, and the type of personality he has, but his game is on. He's doing things that he wasn't able to do in the spring and summer. And for whatever he has done, wherever he went, and whatever he did and studied, he has found something. Now, will that something carry over on the plane ride across the pond? Oh, time will tell, right? But as far as watching what's going on the American side, that was really my biggest focus. Aside from that, then I watched the BMW Championship, DP World BMW Championship. Mm-hmm. And as you know, all the Europeans played in that. And I have to tell you, there's reason to have pause and concern now, because those guys pretty much all played fantastic. And I think just one guy played somewhat average, but even the captain played well. He makes the cut. So they do have a lot going on that they can point to that is the greater good. But again, who can hold on to it and bring it out when it matters most? And, you know, you could say, oh, so-and-so had the hot hand, but that was like a month ago. You know, can you keep that hot hand after laying off for a week or 10 days and easily find it again? That's going to be what is going to be most intriguing as we watch the first day. Well, now it's coming up this next Friday.
Yeah, I mean, we are right around the corner here. Here's the other thing, and you brought it up a little bit there. I feel unbelievably settled with Justin Thomas because of the fact that you look at his record at the Ryder Cup all time, 6-2-1 in his two appearances. He's got three singles win, or he's got a singles win, and he's won a leadoff match against Rory as well. Like, he's playing his best golf. It'd be one thing if he was just this hot golfer and then all of a sudden maybe teetered off towards the end of the stretch here. He's got the experience in the Ryder Cup. I'm feeling very, very good about Zach Johnson's pick of keeping Justin Thomas as opposed to going to someone like Keegan Bradley or something like that. I'm feeling pretty good about it because he's playing his best golf. It seems like everything between the ears has gotten a lot better, and that to me is the biggest thing that hindered him during the 2023 season. So I'm feeling pretty good about Justin Thomas heading into this thing.
No doubt. And, you know, and I think, you know, you mentioned Keegan Bradley. You know, unfortunately, he was left off the team. But from my insiders, they're telling me that Zach went to the team and they had a discussion with the six that qualified as to who he should be picking. So I think that little validation behind closed doors to Justin told Justin a lot. The team wanted him. He wasn't, you know, a charity pick. He wasn't. The team wants him. And I think that gave him that boost of confidence going into Fortinet. And it showed. And I just think they've got something special going on. And I hope that the 30-year drought is, in fact, going to come to an end now. But time will tell.
Yep. I think that's... And Keegan Bradley, he was on a podcast earlier this week as well, and he even said, like, he kind of admitted that, yeah, JT probably should have been the pick. And even though it's devastating for him, he says that, and I got the quote here, if I was the captain, I would have picked Justin Thomas as well. Like, he's got the history of the success. He's played with these guys a number of times before. I think if you're, especially in a year where you're cutting out DJ, you're cutting out Bryson, those guys were stellar for you the last time around. When you're leaving those guys home for reasons that probably don't have to do anything with golf, actual on-course play, when you're leaving those guys home, you have to bring JT. The more and more I've thought about it, like, you have to bring JT.
You do. I mean, you just simply do, because we need to go over there with as much experience and the intangibles in our favor, because what we've been doing over the last 30 years has not worked. So I agree. I think the process and the strategy that Zach has brought to this team, given the, you know, if LIV doesn't happen, you know, the team is going to look noticeably different. And I don't even know if Keegan Bradley's even in the conversation, right, to be quite candid. So, yeah, I think that there's some of those situations where we're considering people that we might not have otherwise just because of the whole LIV and PGA situation there. But, you know, that being said, I just think, you know, when Rory McIlroy goes on and is quoted as to say, JT's the one guy I don't want to see. Here's one of the best in the world, one of their anchors, saying that that pick is a no-brainer. That just further validates in my mind that Zach did the right thing. We have the right makeup and the right team. Now, if we could get guys like Wyndham Clark to kind of maybe tone it down a little bit, I don't know that you really want to point out that Rory is the guy I want, and I want to prove that I'm better than Rory. To me, you just gave them, you know, some nice team room, locker room material to put up on the bulletin board. And I'm not sure that Zach is applauding those comments or not. But, you know, again, wouldn't it be something if we see a Wyndham Clark, Rory McIlroy, you know, singles match on Sunday? It would be kind of fun.
If it was Brooks, cool. If it was Spieth, cool. Hell, even if it was JT, cool. Wyndham Clark, keep your mouth shut right now. Like, you don't understand what you're getting into here, Rook. Like, come on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you do not want to wake that sleeping dog up, because, honestly, as I look at the team, the guy that seems to not have it on all cylinders right now is, in fact, Rory. So there's no need to keep stirring him up a little bit. But of the team right now, he seems to be the one guy that is not really true to his form of late. So time will tell again.
You know what scares me, too, with Rory? With the team format and him seeing the guys that he's going to be around with. He's going to be with Rom, with Vic, Fleetwood, all those guys. He's going to look around that room, and I'm afraid he's going to play the loosest golf he's played all year long, because we've seen him kind of tighten up and fumble away things on Sunday this year. But when he looks and, like, when he's out there on the course during a major, there is no support system. He's the support system. It's him and his caddy, right? But when he's out there at the Ryder Cup and he sees, I've got Jon Rahm as a teammate, I've got Victor Hovland as a teammate, that's his support system there. And I'm wondering if he's going to just go out there and play the loosest golf that we've seen him play in 2023 and get back into that form that can be so devastating from a United States standpoint.
And your comments are spot on, because this is a guy that has spent the last, what, call it 18 months in a lot of turmoil and being the hood ornament for the PGA Tour and having to worry about everything under the sun outside the ropes except his own golf game. And here, he might be able to get into a comfort zone, in a cocoon, that he's with his home fans, if you will, even though he's not from Italy, but the European contingent, if you will. He's, you know, surrounded by a lot of his own friends and colleagues that are near and dear to him. He could find himself in a place of extreme comfort that he has not been in for almost 2 years. And he could show us a side of Rory that could absolutely bedazzle us when it's all said and done. Or he may not, but I get a little bit more on the concern side just knowing how very, very talented that young man is.
Quick little sidetrack, too. This is off of the Fortinet Championship, where we saw Sahith Theegala go out and win first time on the PGA Tour. That's a guy who I'm watching for 2025. Sahith Theegala. That's the name. He's not there. He wasn't really in contention this year, but that's the guy that I'm watching for. Young guy, up and coming, just won his first time on the PGA Tour. That's the guy I'm keeping my eye on for 2025.
And no better place for a guy like that to get his rookie Ryder Cup start than over at Bethpage in New York.
No doubt about that.
And I would feel bad for any of the rookies coming over from Europe to have to go to Bethpage. Yeah. But that is, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. We need to win now and be in a position in 2025 to be, you know, defending the Ryder Cup and trying to keep it here on American soil. But yeah, Sagith is uber talented. And, you know, and watching that BMW championship, you know, I kind of looked at some of the players and I thought to myself, obviously you've got the mainstays are probably going to be solid, like your Hovlands and Rahms and even Rory for that matter, right?
Yeah.
So who are the two guys that you think are going to make all the difference in the world for them to win or lose? In my opinion, I think it's Tyrell Hatton and Matthew Fitzpatrick. If those two guys go and have a great Ryder Cup, we're in for some trouble. But if they don't play well, I think we got them.
Yeah. I kind of get down to the you're only as strong as your weakest link sort of deal there. And I'm not saying that these guys are the weakest links, but the name that intrigues me the most is one of the young guys. It's Ludvig Åberg on the European side. Like, can he steal some points from the bottom? Can he steal some points for the Europeans down the stretch there?
Yeah, I think he can, actually. And I think he is going to be turned in to the next Sergio Garcia. Sergio started playing in this thing, I believe, when he was 19. Obviously, the winningest player in Ryder Cup history with 28.5 points. But this Åberg gentleman can flat-out play. And I know he has not seen the likes of a major yet, but I have a funny feeling this guy is going to be a household name by the time we take back the gold chalice from the Europeans and bring it home with us. But we are going to know who Ludvig Åberg is.
Yeah, and you look at
all over.
He's got the collegiate track record and all that stuff. So it's going to be listen, I'm really intrigued by it. When we come back, I do want to get into the television watching strategy, because we've got an event taking place overseas, so we will jump into all of that. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. At 8:35, we will chat with Rich Peterson, the co-chairman of the Richard E. Peterson Champion of Champions. That's coming up about 10 minutes from now on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking some Ryder Cup with you as we take a look at some of the television watching strategies. Now, this, of course, we're working with a little bit of a time difference here, Rome time versus Central time, working with 7 hours here. But it's really not that far off from whatever strategy you employed with the British Open. You can kind of tailor to this. Now, the timings, everything starts a little bit later with the Ryder Cup, which is kind of nice. But you look at some of the timing here, Mike, you sent over some of the times here. You've got things teeing off Friday at 12:35 a.m. local time. And now this also messed with my head when I saw the television schedule and it says 12:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. And I was like, wait, are we working backwards? And I was like, no, 12:30 starts the new clock. And so that kind of rewired my brain a little bit there. But the television coverage on Friday runs from 12:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. on USA Network. Then Saturday, you get 12:30 to 2 a.m. on USA. Then 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. on NBC. And then on Sunday, things get going at 4:30 a.m. to noon on NBC. So everything's going to be over by noon on Sunday, which is, I guess, kind of nice. It kind of funnels you right into football there. But you look at your television watching strategy. Are you a record and then wake up and watch and just kind of go zero dark 30 on the phone? What's your strategy?
For me, I enjoy getting up early. It's because the cat gets let out of the bag. You can try to avoid media and not knowing what's happening. But this event is just too grand in my life because I've been to, gosh, I think about 8 Ryder Cups in my career now. It's to me it's the Super Bowl of golf for me. And I will be up watching every single shot and probably paying the price in the afternoons and probably taking a lot of naps next weekend. But there's nothing like it. And watching the drama unfold live, I think something gets lost when you already know the ultimate outcome or the score.
Yeah, I'm with
you.
Or,
you know, and that kind of thing. So I plan to be up. And I look forward to even watching the opening ceremonies. I always think that that's a really neat way to kind of get things started. It's very unique to golf.
A little more manageable of a wake-up time, too. 9 a.m. on Thursday.
Yeah. So I think we'll get into the spirit with that. But, you know, and these opening ceremonies started out just with a local marching band coming in, playing the national anthem, parading the guys in and the wives in and out and calling it a day. Well, now these things have turned into concerts and big-time entertainers. So I'll be very curious as to who they bring in and what they do to make this thing a production and a half, because the opening ceremonies certainly have, and it adds to the overall experience for anyone who decides to go attend Ryder Cup, whether it's here in the United States or across the pond.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't sit out and record, because you're right. It's impossible to block things out. It is impossible these days. You can't just go dark on the phone, because somehow, some way, it is going to get spoiled for you. So I'm with you. I am a wake up early to try to watch it. And I'm cool missing little pockets here or there too. But I have to wake up early if I'm going to watch it. I can't watch something that is already finished and the result is known. And because someone's going to ruin it for you. Somewhere, or just unintentionally, you're going to run into it. You're going to be grabbing a coffee and all of a sudden you see someone talking to their buddy at the Starbucks about the Ryder Cup and what happened. Like, it's going to get ruined for you. There's no way to avoid it.
There isn't. And, you know, for me, Friday morning at 12:35, I definitely will be tuning in for the very first shot. And the reason why is I am praying that Zach does the right thing and puts Justin Thomas out first. Because when, you know, you asked me earlier, you know, what did you pay attention to? You know, with Justin Thomas, his approach and his around the greens and his around the putting, the statistics that he you know, accumulated at the Fortinet are representative of what he used to do. I mean, he has improved specifically shots gained on the approach, around the green, and putting. And the putting is dramatically. He's improved almost five times what his 22-23 season was in putting statistics. It's just incredible. So I would love to see what kind of statement we're going to make first, and that's why it's going to be must-see TV for me at 12:35 Friday morning.
Yep, I'm with you. And that's when, like, you just stay up a little bit, right? Like,
Or
like, you take a little, a 7 p.m. to midnight nap there.
There you go.
That's the strategy there. All right.
Yeah, and the strategy is go watch it, and then when they have a break, go get a little workout in, and then get back to watching the afternoon matches at 4-something in the morning.
There you go. So. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Richard Peterson, from the co-chairman of the Richard E. Peterson Champion of Champions. That's coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. Lots of Ryder Cup on the docket today, but let's go on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, and welcome in Rich Peterson, the co-chairman of the Richard E. Peterson Champion of Champions. Good morning, Rich. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, and it's good to be here.
So this tournament, again, for those unfamiliar with the Champion of Champions, basically takes it's a one-day tournament, stroke play, 18-hole with a sudden death to determine first place if necessary, and it is the eligible participants are the club champions from about 100 Chicago-area country clubs or golf clubs. So it's a really cool tournament that's been put on at Park Ridge Country Club, but there was a little gap in some of the action here. From 1984 until 1998, and this thing got booted back up again. What was the impetus to make sure this thing got going once again?
Actually, this tournament started in 1933 by the Chicago District Golf Association, and they ran it yearly with a couple hiatuses in that time frame until 1984 when it stopped. We had a club champion by the name of John Larson, who won our club championship at Park Ridge Country Club a number of times, and the first time he played in the Champion of Champions tournament. And the second time he won the tournament, our tournament, there was no notice about the Champion of Champions, which bothered him. And then the third time he won the tournament, there was still no notice of a Champion of Champions tournament, so he called the CDGA. And they indicated that they had dropped it from their calendar. That was in about 1986 or 87 when John found that out. And that bugged him. And if you know John Larson, when he has something in his craw, he just does not let go. And he came to me at the club and said, would you be interested in working with him, John, to resurrect the tournament and make Park Ridge its permanent home? And I said, yeah, I think that'd be a great idea. We went to the board of directors at that time, and they agreed. And so in 1998, we resurrected the tournament. And this year will be the 26th consecutive year that Park Ridge has been the host venue.
Well, Richard, first and foremost, we are looking forward to another great Champions of Champion this Thursday out at Park Ridge. And a chance to see what I consider one of the gem clubs of the district in Park Ridge Country Club. But really wanted to get a perspective from you. You know, 26 years in doing this, this also has to be something that the club you know, from a DNA perspective is all about. And tell us a little bit about the support the club actually does to make this day so special for some of the best Chicago amateurs around our area.
The club has been magnificent, and so have our members. We get about 50 members each year who volunteer to help put on this one-day tournament. We have a scorer with each group that has immediate access to rules official on the course. They also keep track of the score of each player. We have scoreboards, leaderboards on the course in five different locations that are staffed by our members. And then the staff itself provides a wonderful meal, breakfast, and lunch for participants and the volunteers. And our ground superintendent has the course in absolutely magnificent shape. So this is a real club presentation of the course. We've got a wonderful golf course. It's has very subtle greens, and you have to be a shot maker to play well. And as indicated by our champions over the last 25 years, they have been very good golfers, and they've been very good shot makers and good putters, which is, I guess, typical of most any champion.
Rich Peterson joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline, co-chairman of the Richard E. Peterson Champion of Champions. So it's a one-day stroke play 18-hole tournament, sudden death if you need it. Have you ever put any consideration into stretching this thing out into a two- or three-round tournament, or is it, at this point, tradition is tradition, we're sticking with just 18 holes?
I think we'll stick with 18 holes. First off, most of our players are still working. You know, this is they're amateurs, and they've got a regular job, so taking two or three days out of their calendar to play would be pretty tough. Secondly, frankly, giving up our course for two or three days would be difficult. So we're keeping it into a one-day stroke play tournament. Actually, it's not a sudden death finish. If we have a tie, we play three holes, and those three holes cumulative score would win the tournament, and then if it's still tied, we'll have sudden death after that. But our thinking at this point is to keep it at 18 holes and present a real good tournament with a wonderful hospitality and an exceptional golf course.
Rich, your point about these gentlemen all have jobs. I was fortunate enough, believe it or not, in 04 and 06 to qualify for this tournament, winning the club championship at Glen Oak. But unfortunately, due to business, I have never had the opportunity to play in one of these. So I can appreciate the working, you know, golfing participant in this field. But as I go through the list of winners in the history of this event, you have got some really iconic winners of this. When you look at amateur golf in Chicago, when you look at a guy like Joel Hirsch winning in 1976, Blake Johnson, another formidable player that I grew up with who won in 2017, and my fraternity brother Jim Whitley, who's won, I think it's 26 club championships at Geneva Country Club, he won in 1999. So I know, just being at this event on this past Thursday at our mixed couples event, that Ryan Quintino and Doug Meyer are absolutely looking forward to this. They tell me it's one of the best golfing experiences that they have, and they look forward to it every year. What are the other intangibles that why players love Park Ridge so much? Because I know it's a fantastic venue.
I think they like it because of the warm hospitality that our membership presents to them. The tournament, and I'm bragging a little bit here, but between John and myself and the tournament committee, well organized, everything is set up to a T. We have special caddy smocks with their club name on the back of it. We have a score, as I said, walking with each group. The golf course is in wonderful shape. Everybody is happy to see them. We have, in many cases, the same volunteers year after year, and so they're looking at friendly faces that they recognize when they come here. And as I've said, you know, the fall of the year is is a wonderful season to play golf in Chicago. You have warm days and cool nights, makes growing grass really good, and you can get the greens quick and true. The fairways can be firm and fast, and we have the course in wonderful condition. And I think they just enjoy the experience. And we enjoy having them and try to make them extremely welcome each year. The other factor is that if, in your case, for instance, you were unable to play because you had a conflict with your work, the runner-up is invited to play in the Champion of Champions, or last year's champion is more than welcome to play in the tournament. We really want to see as many clubs in the Chicago area represented in the tournament.
Well, Rich, we are so glad that John Larson, you know, got this stuck in his craw and made this change. But ironically, while I'm talking to you, speaking of Larson, a friend of the show, Don Larson, just texted me, said he's a good friend of yours, wishes you nothing but the best of luck Thursday, as do we with the CDGA, and we're going to be out there to support you. And we look forward to one heck of a great day, and we thank you for all that you've done for amateur golf in Chicago.
Well, thank you very much, and I know Don Larson well, and you can thank him for the text.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us this morning, Rich, and best of luck.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Rich Peterson, co-chairman of the Richard E. Peterson Champion of Champions, with us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. When we come back, we'll go through a few more Ryder Cup notes here, and also Live Golf is in Chicago. We'll discuss when we come back at 9 o'clock as well. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Talking some Ryder Cup with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be joined by Brandon Meagle coming up a little after 9:15. General manager out at X Golf. Looking forward to that conversation as Mike is out at the X Golf in Geneva today, 1900 South Randall Road, Suite 120. X Golf, awesome spot, especially as the golf season dwindling down. Keep your game sharp over at X Golf. All right, I've got these odds here, Mike, from FanDuel. Just a couple of little props for the Ryder Cup this time around. And I wanted to sort of pick your brain on a couple things here. But the top USA point scorer, so the player that's going to walk away with the most points for the United States here, Scottie Scheffler's the favorite here. Not very experienced in the Ryder Cup realm. He's at plus 470. Pretty long odds on all of these here. So you can get some pretty good value if you can nail it down here. But Scottie Scheffler as the top USA point scorer, plus 470. Xander's at 6-1, as is Patrick Cantlay. Brooks at plus 650. Colin Morikawa, 8-1. Homa, 9-1. JT, 10-1. Spieth, 12-1. Ricky, 14-1. And then if you want to go deeper and deeper, you can get some 16-1s. Brian Harman at 26-1. But anything sort of catch your eye there? Who do you think will walk away with the most points of all the U.S. guys?
Well, honestly, Scottie Scheffler seems to be a pretty darn good bet, right? But my attention goes right to Patrick Cantlay for some reason. And I just think the guy is just he's got, you know, cold water running in those veins of his, and I just think if he gets going and gets a hot hand, Zach Johnson is not going to take him out, and I could see him playing, you know, all five matches. But again, Friday's going to dictate a lot to us. But to answer your question, I just for some reason have a good feeling about Patrick Cantlay in Ryder Cup week.
Yeah, I'm kind of back and forth with Cantlay and also Xander Schauffele as well at 6-1. Scotty, yeah. Sometimes like the way that putter was in the final 2 months of the year really sort of scares me. And at the value that you're seeing at less than 5-1, like I think I'd rather opt for someone who I'm a little more comfortable with on the greens, like a Xander or a Patrick Cantlay there.
Absolutely agree with you. And I could even see a guy, the California kid, Max Homa, having a wonderful week, too.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think Patrick and Xander, they're going to be partners anyway. If those two can get hot for us, I mean, they will be a big part of us bringing this Ryder Cup home. And they have to be. Because you can only rely so much on a JT, so much on Brooks. So the rest of the team has got to come through, and Patrick Cantlay and Xander are a twosome that we know is always going to be paired together. We just need to get the most out of them, both in alternate shot as well as four ball.
Right, and like we've seen them together at the Zurich too, and like they're the chemistry there is something that I think is something that the U.S. is really riding with here. Here's another one for you. The top U.S. wild card points score. So these are the captain's picks. Who will lead out of that? Brooks, 2.5-1. Morikawa, +340. JT, +430. Spieth, 5-1. Ricky Fowler, 6-1. Sam Burns, +650 there.
I'm going to go for one of the mullet boys. I don't know if
yeah,
you saw this.
Yeah, I saw this. This is great. I saw this last night. I was doing a little bit of prep for the show, and I saw the video from Brooks on, like, Thursday or whatever it was, of him showcasing the mullet, and I was like, oh, interesting. And then I saw Sam Burns is also hopping on the trail, too.
Yeah, and he's got USA sort of, engraved into his hairline, if you will. So it's just for that kind of camaraderie, chemistry, that I look for one of those two guys to have an event that I can't wait for them to be holding the gold chalice with a mullet.
Yeah.
So that I look at either Sam Burns or Brooks, and I would favor more Brooks than Sam Burns.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Brooks, the value isn't great. Listen, you could take both of them because they're on opposite ends of the odds spectrum here, and you could walk away with some money as long as one of them cashes in for you here. But I do like that sort of camaraderie here, and I think it's cool, too, because Brooks, it kind of is like the black sheep of this crew, even though not as much as maybe some of the other LIV guys would be. But Brooks is the lone LIV player in the entire event, European or American here. And to have Brooks as sort of this, like ingratiating himself and with the mullet with Sam Burns here, who is on the PGA Tour, I found that to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. Back in November or June of last year, so let's go back a year ago, when they were teeing off in London, do you think you'd have ever seen the day that Brooks Koepka would have gotten a mullet with Sam Burns? I mean, so my point is, look how much has changed in a year. And where I think the intangible for the United States is, if Brooks Koepka has a wonderful Ryder Cup, which we all know he can, and he has proven it in the past, and he does, you're going to hear a lot of belly aching from the European contingent about the fact that a LIV player made the difference in the Ryder Cup and that they didn't have anybody. I am just pre-warning everyone in America to get set for that as the golden excuse as to how the Ryder Cup got won in America. They're going to point back to LIV.
No doubt about that. I mean, the foresight certainly on that. I've never really thought of it of the what happens if Brooks makes the difference, but you know the Europeans were going to complain no matter what that none of the LIV players were invited to play. But if Brooks is the difference maker here, then you're really going to get some conversation there. So, all right, when we come back, speaking of LIV, they are at Rich Harvest Farms. We'll tell you what's taking place out in Sugar Grove when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.